As we continue our study of the prophet Elisha, I would ask that you would open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 17. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 17. Hear the word of God. One day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." One day he came there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" Gehazi answered, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, "At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant." But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. Jeremiah said, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart." Prophet Ezekiel said, "Then I ate your word, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey." Father, I pray as we look at this passage that you would open our hearts and minds and give us understanding, and take this text, sear it on our hearts like with a hot poker. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we looked at the beginning of chapter 4 of 2 Kings, and we were confronted with a woman. We were confronted with a woman who was destitute, a woman who was in despair. Her husband had recently died. She had no money. She had no goods, and the creditor was coming to enslave her two children to pay off her debt. But we also saw last week that she was a woman of faith. She loved the Lord, and there she comes to seek Elisha's help for her situation. And of course, Elisha responds through the power of the Spirit by giving her a great provision, and she was delivered from her crisis. This morning, we are introduced to another woman. As Bob Caro would say, this is a girly chapter of the Bible. This is a woman who's different from the first woman. She has no such problems as the widow of the previous story. She is a woman of means, and she is a woman of faith. This woman of wealth is a believer, and she's going to deal, however, with different issues than the woman who was destitute. As I looked at this passage and studied this passage, in one sense, these two women, I believe, symbolize that the gospel can affect people, can change the hearts of people, no matter their station in life, no matter their circumstances. The gospel is for all people. It's for the destitute. It's for those with means. It's Paul says in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The gospel can reach the king as well as the maiden at the mill. The gospel can reach the richest of the rich to the poorest of the poor. Let's consider for a time this morning this story and the circumstances of this wealthy woman who is a believer. We will consider the passage in three parts. First part, verses 8 through 10. Second part, verses 11 through 13. And finally, the third part, verses 14 through 17. Let's consider the first part, verses 8 through 10, which I title The Hospitality of This Woman. Let's begin by looking at verse 8. One day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. So here we see one day Elisha is passing through the town of Shunem. Shunem is a small town that is located on the road between the capital city of Israel, Samaria, and Mount Carmel, which is along the coast. Samaria, the major city in Israel, is up in the hill country, up in the highlands. Mount Carmel is along the coast. Shunem is in between. Now, we understand that the sons of the prophets, who were like God's seminary, often were located at Mount Carmel. And so Elisha is frequently going to Mount Carmel, but Elisha is also frequently going to the city of Samaria because that's where the king of Israel resided. So this is a common trail or path for Elisha the prophet, going from Samaria to Shunem to Mount Carmel and then back again from Mount Carmel to Shunem to Samaria. Now, Shunem is an interesting little site because it's located in what's called the Israelan Valley. I know how I'm talking. It sounds like I just wrote a atlas or something like that. Well, anyway, Shunem is located in this in the Israelan Valley, which was the most fertile agricultural area of Israel. It's a very breadbasket of the land of Israel. It is an area of great agricultural wealth. Now, in the town of Shunem, which is right there in the valley, located to, next to the valley, the text tells us there lived there, literally, it says in the Hebrew, a great woman. A great woman. Now, the word that's translated in the ESV is wealthy. I think that's only part of it. She's a great woman. In other words, the word indicates that she was a woman of wealth, yes, influence, yes, and good character. This is a woman of integrity, and this is a woman of great means. Now, this is an amazing statement regarding this woman, is it not? We have to continually go back to the context of what's going on in the time of Elisha. One has to remember the state of things in Israel at this time, that it was a period of great apostasy. Things are bad in Israel, yet here is this woman of godly integrity. Woman of godly integrity. Remember, God said, I will leave 7,000 in Israel who will not bow the knee to Baal or kiss the idol of Baal. We saw one at the beginning of the chapter, that one woman. Now we're looking at another woman in the second half of the chapter. Note what she does. Verse 8, she urges Elisha to eat in her home. Now think about this. This is actually quite dangerous for her. It's quite dangerous for her family because Elisha is often on the outs with the military. He's often on the outs with the king in Samaria because it's the king and all his little toadies and sycophants who are driving Baalism in Israel. But this woman, she opens her home to the great prophet. She would certainly be seen as collaborating with the enemy. Yes, Elisha's a prophet of Israel, but he's often, again, at odds with the authorities of Israel. And understand, she is one who apparently has much to lose. She is a wealthy woman. She has much to lose by opening her house to this prophet. But the woman is convicted that she ought to care for God's prophet, that she ought to minister to him, and her hospitality becomes frequent, as we see there in verse 8, as the prophet passed by Shunem again and again and again, and he would stop and eat in her home. Thus, we see that the woman, not once, but continually feeds the prophet, continually cares for the man of God. It's not just she does it one time and that soothes her spirituality or something like that. That's not what's going on here at all. It's a continuous giving on the part of the woman. Now note what happens, that it gets even more, verses 9 through 10. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." So the woman speaks to her husband. They decide to build a room for Elisha in their house. Of course, this is a more settled invitation, a more settled hospitality. Of course, and understand, this is a boon to Elisha. In those days, there was no such thing as a Motel 6, no Tom Baudet saying, "I'm leaving the lights on for you, Elisha." There's no such thing. Travelers were at the mercy of people's hospitality. Travelers were at the mercy of people's hospitality. And understand, most Israel at this time is following Baal, not the Lord. So this is a wonderful provision, isn't it? Thus, this woman shares what God has given to her. She shares what God has given to her. Why does she do this? Well, verse 10 tells us that she knew that Elisha was a holy man of God. She knew that Elisha was a believer and was one of the leaders of the Orthodox party, we could say. This is her way of promoting the gospel. She's promoting the work of God by caring for one of his ministers. That's wonderful. Such hospitality is surely a sign of godly maturity on her part. Elisha now has a place to rest, a place to pray, a place to study. Again, this woman is using what God has given her for the good of the gospel. She used her home for the glory of God. Say that again. She used her home for the glory of God. Recently read about a pastor who was visiting England, and he stayed in a castle. And the castle was so old that some of its towers dated to the 15th century. At breakfast, the minister noticed a massive beam that spread the length of the central hall where all the guests were eating. He looked at the beam and he saw that there was an inscription on it. And it read this: "That house shall be preserved and never shall decay, where Almighty God is worshipped day by day." That inscription was written in the 15th century. What a proper testimony to the proper use of a home. So as I look at this woman, who, by the way, is nameless, I don't know who she is, as we didn't know the name of the woman at the beginning of the chapter. This woman reminds me of someone you ought to become familiar with and study, and that is Lady Huntingdon, who was so influential during the English Reformation of the 18th century. She was a great promoter of George Whitefield. She was a great promoter of John Wesley, and she used her high position to full effect for the gospel. She was married to the Earl of Huntingdon, who had the king's ear. She, as you read stories about her, she promoted the gospel to the servants in her house, and she promoted the gospel to the royal family. There we are again. From the woman at the mill to the king upon his throne. As you read about her, money and things did not mean much to her, but she used her goods for the good of Christ. For example, Lady Huntingdon founded and funded no less than 200 chapels and mission stations in England. In 1828, nearly 40 years after her death, there were 35,000 people regularly attending these places of worship that were being cared for by 72 Orthodox ministers. I often hear in my circles, what can women do in the church? They can do a lot. Is this you? Are you one that uses the material blessings that you have received for the kingdom of God? Is that a driving force in your life? Kingdom work? To use what God has given to you to promote the gospel. Second part of our passage is verses 11 through 13. What will her reward be? One day he came there and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, said to his servant, say now to the woman, see, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So on one of his trips, one day, Elisha is staying in the woman's house and he tells his servant Gehazi to call for the woman. She comes and stands before the prophet in his room. And the prophet says to her through the servant that she has really gone the extra mile by providing all these things for the prophet. He literally says to her, you have been anxious for us with a great anxiety. That's a wonderful way that the Hebrews add emphasis. You have been anxious for us with this great anxiety. In other words, he sees that she has gone out of her way to provide for him, that this has been costly to take care of the prophet. And then he asks her, interesting, what can I do for you? As a prophet of God, how can I help you? Do you have any grievance? Do you have any complaint? Do you have any petition? Elisha is willing to speak to the king on her behalf. Elisha is willing to speak to the general of the Israelite army on her behalf. He will go to the most powerful people in the land to take care of her. Remember the widow at the beginning of the chapter. She needed Elisha's intercession. But note the woman's response here. This is an amazing response. She answered, I dwell among my own people. That is an interesting response, isn't it? You know what it is? It's a polite refusal. She's saying, no, I'm taken care of. I'm protected by my extended family. She's saying, I really need nothing. I am content with my home and my family and my friends and my ministry. I am content, she says. She's not helping Elisha in order to get something in return. This woman does the right type of giving. Namely, with no expectation of earthly reward. She's not taking care of God's prophet, expecting that she's going to get an earthly reward for that, that she's going to get paid for that. That's nothing like that at all. And note, she's not a whiner. She's not a complainer. She grumbles about nothing. From this conversation, from this give and take, one does not know that she actually is living under some bitter circumstances. You wouldn't know that from this situation. She is a great example of what Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 7. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "Now, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." She's content. Is this you? Are you one who keeps on abounding in the work of God simply for the glory of God, simply to help build His kingdom? That you labor for Christ not merely for some earthly reward, but because you love Christ and desire to serve Him? Are you content in your life as this woman is to serve the Lord? Verses 14 through 17, we see the abounding blessing of God. And he said, apparently she has left, and Elisha turns to his servant and says, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Well, she has no son, and her husband is old." Elisha said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, "At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant." But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time, the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. Do we understand that the wealthy are not problem-less, without problems? The wealthy, do they have hardship? Do they have trial? Gehazi tells Elisha that the woman has no son and her husband is aged. This is astounding news. That she perhaps will soon become a widow and then have no immediate care from a husband or from a son. She could easily become like the woman earlier in the chapter. This is astounding news, and it's news we would have never known. By how she has acted and her attitude. She never even mentioned this to Elisha when he asked her if there was anything that she needed. Here is a hardship. Here is a worry. Here she's looking ahead. But here's a trouble that she doesn't even tell the prophet. Again, this woman has a sweet Christian spirit. Her care has been to tend to the needs of the prophet, and not to her own troubles, not to her own afflictions. She's serving the Lord Jesus without care for her own hardship. Is this you? Elisha calls for her a second time, and he gives her some astounding news. Next year at this time, she will bear a son. Of course, this is so surprising to her. She thinks that Elisha is jesting with her. It's just too incredible. Her husband is aged, and this is not going to happen. That she would bear a son in her circumstances be hard to believe. That's exactly what God does in verse 17. But the woman conceived, she bore a son about that time, the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. This is a God who opens the womb. This This is the God who opened the womb of Sarah. The womb of Rebecca. The womb of Rachel. The womb of Samuel's mother. And the womb of the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. As this woman opened her house to Elisha, God now builds her house. God acts on behalf of His faithful people. There's much here for us to consider. The passage teaches a number of very practical truths. Can't go into all of them. I will just mention two real briefly. First, this passage demonstrates God's involvement with the lives of people in all walks of life. There are believers who are young. There are believers who are old. There are believers who are weak. There are believers who are powerful. There are believers who are rich. There are believers who are poor. The gospel is for all people. It reaches to all types of people. This passage further demonstrates the necessity of faith for everyone, regardless of their social standing or their financial position in life. And you know, as I was thinking through this passage, I believe this truth should be encouraging for our church. Here we sit in a fairly affluent area of Charlotte. God desires that His gospel would penetrate into the Ballantyne area. People who have been materially blessed can come to know Christ. It's difficult. I understand. We look and we see that. And it looks as if they don't need Jesus. But they do need Jesus. Yes, they may have wealth. But they have hardships. There's more divorce in Ballantyne area than in other area of Charlotte. These are young people whose parents are aging. These are young people whose children are out of control. Yes, they have all the goodies. But they don't have what's best. They don't have the excellent things of life that are found in Christ Jesus. This passage also teaches us that believers who have been materially blessed ought to use their goods for the benefit of the kingdom of God. And they should do so with a right attitude and with a godly attitude, and to do it joyfully and willingly. Look at this woman. Using her goods for the glory of Christ. This woman sought nothing for herself. She sought no earthly reward. She used her goods and money for the glory of God and for the building of His kingdom. We should do the same. Is this you? Is this you? Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, I pray we would be struck by the story of how God works among all types of people. And pray that His kingdom would go forward among all types of people. And as we are situated here in Ballantyne, O Lord, that You would use us to penetrate all types of people with the gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.